And what I wanted to discuss, what the Holy Spirit's kind of given me, is a really interesting level of healing. And what he's done is he's shown me that, you know, healing isn't just physical, obviously, but we tend to, in a lot of the healing movements or teaching, we tend to just look for the physical issues. And he's shown me that we can be proactive. And he can lead us to people that have emotional, or we could call them soul issues or wounds, that allows for that weakens them, so they allow the enemy to get in very easily. You know, depression can come in, anxiety can come in, even physical sickness can come in if we are worn down emotionally. And what he's revealed to me is that, not to just look for people that are crippled, you know, or people that have limps, or people that are got something broken that you can, you know, it's very obvious to see when you're out and about in the world, but to actually let him draw you to the people that need him in a way that is not visible to the you know, to the naked eye, so to speak, but is visible to the spirit. And he's done that over the last period of, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever it's been. And I was resisting it because, you know, the call is heal the sick, heal the sick, heal the sick. And we always assume it's physical, but it's not. And he's opened up this whole new level of seeking the kingdom, where he draws you to people and draws them to you that have issues that are going on that have not manifested in the physical yet. And you're able to, you know, like preventative medicine, so to speak, you're able to actually pray for them, release the Holy Spirit, give them prophetic words or words of knowledge or whatever it is that he has for that particular person. And that stops them going down in that direction that they were going down, which would more than likely lead to either mental illness of some sort or a physical manifestation of a sickness. So it's amazing. It's a whole new level of touching people. But it has to be done, you know, you really have to be spirit-led. You can't just end up looking for the people with crutches. It's far deeper than that, if that makes sense. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay, all right. So what I believe he wants me to share and what he wants to teach today is how do we get to the place of being led by his spirit so that those people that need that type of healing are not missed. Because what we tend to do, if we're really into, you know, praying, say praying in the streets in particular, okay, or even in our workplace, we're going to look for the physical, and that's fine, but that is only one part of healing. And if we can actually get to people that have not gotten sick yet, or you know, whether it's a mental, emotional illness or whether it's a physical one, then we are stopping that process from happening. And they can actually, from that prayer, you know, the praying that we do with them and the Holy Spirit ministering to them, they'll get insight so that they don't have to continue to go down that path. So it's a whole nother way of, and I, like I said, I was resisting it because there is so much emphasis on physical healing that people tend to miss the fact that the soul is involved in healing and the soul is involved in disease. You know, the enemy can only get in because we allow it on some level, not meaning to. I'm not talking about we deserve it. I'm not talking, you know, it's all been paid for. But we don't know that we're receiving that because of whatever has gone on. Perhaps we've been abused as a child, or perhaps we've been betrayed even as an adult. And there's this weakness. And the enemy will go for that weakness. He will look for that place. And God also said this amazing thing to me. We were praying in tongues, the three of us, this morning. And really, you know, really strongly. And he just said this. He said, the power of the universe is in your tongue. And then he showed me that the enemy does not have that power. But what he does have is deception to hijack our tongue and get him to agree with what he wants us to produce. So he takes the power through. Now, he doesn't actually take the power, but he what would you call it? Hijack is the best term I can come up with. You know, he grabs a hold of that power by getting us. It's not his. It's never his. He never can take it from us, but he can get us to misuse it. And that's why what we say, life and death in the tongue, that's why what we say has such impact, because God has given us the power of the universe in our tongue. And what we say goes, because what he said happened, what he said did. You know, what I say goes, because what he said went. It happened. And I'm now given that same level of, and I wouldn't just call it authority, because I think that word is so overused. I would call it that same, we're heirs of God. So we're given him, he gives us that same ability to produce what we desire as well as what we don't desire. And the sooner that we get that, you know, then we realize, you know, it's like your tongue is a, like a nuclear weapon. And it can destroy or it can create. And I know nuclear weapons don't create, but say there's a place in a location and there's all of this these horrible buildings and it's derelict and it's been a ghetto and everything and everybody's moved out and they just want to get rid of it and they just blast it so they can rebuild. That's kind of how the tongue is. And then if the other side of it is, if there's an enemy in there, you just blast the enemy with, also with speaking in tongues, you blast the enemy with tongues, and then you have a clear way for the Spirit of God. So it's so connected. And what he's telling me is that when we meet people, if God, you know, if we allow God to draw us into that being led rather than trying to lead the Spirit, if we let him, which is his job anyway, if we let him lead us, then he will draw us to those people. I had that day where I was drawn to all these people that really needed, it was more emotional than anything. And from that place, someone was really struggling with someone that was an atheist, and they were trying to convince them, you know, they'd been working on this person for weeks or months or whatever to come to Christ. And they were really worn down and they were really discouraged and really low. And God drew me to that person and we started a conversation. And then from there, I got to pray for her. God gave me a word of knowledge for her. She was crying. There was release of the Spirit. Now she doesn't have to be on that level of, she could have gone into depression from that. She was really, really hurt. And it was entangling her own faith as well. So she just, you know, she got free. And now imagine if I had gone, oh no, I've got to just go over to the person with the wheelchair, and God's drawing me to this other person who's got a deep emotional issue, and I miss them because I'm so intent on, no, it's got to be the one who's physically sick. Do you see what I'm saying? When we're led by the Spirit, it's not about trying to miss the people who are physically sick, but it's also not trying to direct it ourselves. It's not self-directed. Healing shouldn't be self-directed. It should be Spirit-directed. That's the way we're meant to do it. So that's kind of the beginning of what... Go ahead, Steve. Oh, I lost you. Okay, we'll get you again. And William, you're there?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay, wonderful. William, we were talking about not being just fully focused on physical healing. That when we're, that God wants to, he's just shown me this thing today. He's been doing it, but I didn't have a name for it, and I didn't quite understand it. And now I understand it. It's really proactive healing. So you're working, he draws you to people that are going to have either soul wounds or emotional wounds, okay? And they, that would lead them into sickness of one sort or another, either depression or anxiety or physical illness. And he's showing me that not to just look for people who are, you know, limping or have crutches or in wheelchairs, that he can draw you to people that are calling out to him or that need help, even if they're not calling out to him, and that will receive healing on a soul level, and that is much deeper than the physical, and that often will prevent Well, more, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to prevent the physical issue, unless you have, like, say, an injury, you fall down the stairs. But if you're going to have a manifestation of something inside, often there's some weakness in the soul. It's not a blaming, it's not the person deserves it. It's simply they have a weakness and the enemy can get in easily. And we don't want to give him any leeway. Does that make sense? Okay. He's really showing me the soul first, the
Yes,
soul
I think
first. Go ahead. Sorry, William.
No. It's almost in line with the scripture that a revelation I got many I think it was sometime this year. I'll send you the scripture when I get it, but I fully agree with you.
Yes. Well, if you can remember it while we're online, that would be great too. We're happy to. I'm happy
Okay.
to go with that. You want to write it down or whatever, it doesn't matter. So Jane, do you
Yes,
understand?
yes,
Okay, that'd be great if you find it. So Jane, you've just come in. So did you hear that? Do you understand where we're kind of
Yes.
the focus?
Actually, I've had you on full time
Oh, good girl.
listening, but I just muted my microphone.
Oh,
Yep, so
okay.
I've been following
Oh,
along.
wonderful.
Yep, and I ran into the girl at the coffee shop, just what you're talking about today. She's just so hurt and wounded, and I just sat there and I could just hear bits and pieces of her conversation with somebody. And I just asked her as walking out the door of the coffee shop if I could just, you know, I just heard it was like the soul thing was just, she was just so wounded, and I couldn't catch everything that was going on, but I heard bits and pieces, and I just felt like I just needed to go ask her if I could just bless her and pray with her. And she let me, and she was there with another person. I think it was supposed to be a counselor, but wasn't doing much counseling, but just kind of listening and letting her moan and groan and whatever. But I just blessed her. I just said, God just, you know, wants to bless you. And then reminded her, because they had a Bible out, so I just reminded her that everything she needed has already been provided for her. And that whatever she needed, whatever that was, it's hers. And she can have it. She just needs to receive that. And she was like,
Wonderful.
oh, I never thought of it like that before. So,
That's
yeah.
wonderful.
Out the door. But she, just what you're talking about, it wasn't a physical, but you could just sense it was leading to physical. Man, you know, you could just sense that the next step would be a sickness. Or she was on the way there and she looked pale and she looked like she could be ill. You know what I mean? But
Yes.
she was talking about all these problems and these, you know, she was trying to find Jesus and sort it all out. So, yeah, I know what you mean. Perfect topic, Jesse, as usual.
The Holy Ghost, that's all I can say. So what we're doing, it seems like it's there's two aspects of this that he's showing me today. One is that we are not just to look at people in a physical, you know, on that simple physical surface level. The other is when, for our own selves and as we're discipling others, because we really need to be discipling, not just, you know, touch, 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 touch. You know, we need to be discipling. As we disciple others, we can remind them, and once we get our own revelation, that the power of the universe is in their tongue. And if they, like I wrote down here, if when they agree with the enemy, because he wants to hijack your tongue, because he doesn't have that power, when we agree with him, we're abdicating our power and we hand it over to him. We hand over the power of the universe to the enemy. That makes me sick. We need to know that's how powerful it is. That's why he tries to mess with our minds. So what he usually works on first is your emotions because that's the lowest level. And if he can get you emotionally derailed, then your mind will get engaged in that, and then you're off on a whole nother wavelength and you're not being led by the spirit. Because being led by the spirit is not just this airy-fairy weird thing that people have made it into. Being led by the spirit is the most solid, incredible, supernatural way to walk in Christ. And it's real and it's practical. Just like what you did for that woman today. That's practical, being led by the Spirit. You're telling her the truth. You're in a place where she's revealing these things to you. You're not, you know, sobbing with her or commiserating with her, but you're also not being harsh. You're just telling her the truth. And that's being led by the Spirit as well. So we need to realize when we're led by the Spirit, it isn't just looking for the red shirt, you know, having a wild time in worship, which is fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but those are only little aspects. Being led by the Spirit is moment by moment. And I've been asking him to teach me how to be led by the Spirit. And man, I can tell you, he is showing me the pitfalls, where and when I don't, and how painful it is. And emotions are one of the key issues. And and we're going to see that for others as well. We know in ourselves how emotions can derail us. Well, it obviously happens for other people. And in the last 3 or 4 weeks, he has been having me focus on people's souls. So their will, their emotions, and their minds. And probably emotions more than anything. Because that's where your wound comes in, through the emotional level. And it's been amazing because you see people being healed on a physical level because their souls have been healed. So I think sometimes there's been a really limited teaching on that just to look for the physical, 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 and it's all a spirit, it's all a spirit. We've got to realize people are body, soul, and spirit. They're engaged, you know, we're that body, soul, and spirit, we're one with God as well. So we're completely united to him. But what happens is through deception, by what the enemy gives us, through the wounds that we've had and then deception that comes with that, we get waylaid and put on the wrong course. And then sickness comes in very easily. I mean, if someone is having a hard time emotionally, you're almost guaranteed they're going to get sick. They just know that in the secular level, you know, psychological level, that's just going to happen. So what we want to learn, and William, I'm going to ask you to give us that scripture. And because I'm sure that is totally tied in. So could you read that to us and tell us what it is, and then I'll write it down and then you can read it to us, if that's okay?
I can give you, Matthew, I had it here a few minutes ago. You continue while I can.
Okay. All right. Well, Jane, you had that comment that, that emotions can derail you a lot. And I know, and I agreed. And if you're a passionate kind of person, your emotions are very integral in your way of being. So it's easy to get derailed. And what the Holy Spirit's been teaching me, and it's been, I can tell you, it's been a hard lesson, not because of him, but because of patterns that I've developed. What he's teaching me is that, not just that it's a moment by moment choice, but you really have to yield to him. So when we're in a difficult position, and I had a situation yesterday, it was so hard. It was something from the past that just came and, you know, really took me off kilter. And I mean, it was a very deep issue. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I'm going out shopping today. I want to pray for people. I've got some other people that, you know, are calling me that I've got to pray for. I've got to get myself together, this kind of thing. And then he just reminded me, ask me. I'm the Holy Spirit. Ask me to lead you in this. So I said, Lord, I don't know how to work in this. I don't know how to walk in this. You show me, bring your presence upon me. Guide me. I need you to lead so that my emotions don't take over. And because he's been showing me how emotions are like a wild stallion attached to a cart. We're in the cart, and I can tell you the wild stallion will go wherever it wants to go. So we've got to not go in the cart. We can have the wild stallion there. You know, the hissy fit happens. We get upset. The emotions come up. But we don't have to get in the cart and let it, you know, drag us off the cliff. So, for example, with yesterday, like you've had 15 minutes ago, Jane, I had to really just sit down, literally sit down, ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come upon me. I know he's in me, but he comes upon me. He's both. He doesn't just work one way, and it's amazing. And he just gave me such peace. And he gave me a word of knowledge of how to deal with it, and which kept me going so that I wouldn't go into frantic panic. And the amazing part was I went out shopping with my son, as we usually do, and I prayed for some people and everything in the shopping center. But I forgot about the issue completely. Whereas normally I would have, it would have ruined my whole day. And I thought, I am not going to allow this to happen. I've got to let him lead me. So that's the way I am finding he's teaching me how to be led by the Spirit. Do you see how practical he is? He is not airy-fairy. The Holy Ghost is the most solid, oh, I don't know how to describe him, but the experience that I get, the most solid spirit you can imagine. Because he's in you and he's in a physical body called you. That's pretty solid. It's just amazing. I'm amazed by it. And he directs every moment if we submit to God, resist the devil. That's by submitting to the Holy Spirit. We resist the devil and he'll flee. And that's what we, you know, that's where we want to go with it. So, William, did you find your scripture?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, good. Tell us what it is. It's Matthew something?
It's Matthew. Yeah, I'll type it. It's Matthew 15. Let me type it and then
okay.
I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, that would be wonderful.
Matthew 15. 15:30-32. Oh, yeah, you. Yes. And I'll tell you what I saw, and when I saw it, it's part of what contributed to my healing, and also I think it's very much in line with what you were saying, because it says that there was a large crowd that came to Jesus, and they brought the lame. Oh, are you listening? Are you there?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Oh, am I cut off? Oh, you are. Okay. They brought lame people to Jesus. They brought the maimed. They brought the blind. They brought the dumb and many others. And they put them down at his feet. And the Bible says he healed them or he cured them. So verse 31 says, so that the crowd was amazed when they saw the dumb speaking, the lame call, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they recognized and praised and thanked God and glorified the God of Israel. Now, when I read verse 30, I was excited, you know, because
yes.
They were talking about, say if you went out shopping, you're going to see the lame.
Yes.
You're going to see the sheep, you're going to see the blind, you're going to see the dumb. And what happened was, you're going to respond to what you see. In other words, if you see the blind, you're going to pray for the blind eyes, the limb to walk, and so on. And in verse 31, it tells us that Jesus prayed for them, and they got these people, the crowds around, could see the evidence of what Jesus had prayed. The manifestation. Because the dumb were speaking, the maimed were made whole, the lame were walking, and the blind were seeing. And then it hit me when I read verse 30. I said, oh, wait a minute. That's when I realized something. Because what had happened was I had gone to a prophetic, to a healing conference. And the man of God had stood up and he used words of knowledge. And he called out certain sicknesses. And we saw the lame walk, we saw the blind. But I was there, and my sickness was not called out. That's when the Lord touched me, and he said, there are people who are under the many others category.
Okay.
The fact is, just because you do not see them, just because you only see the lame walking, the blind seeing, and the maimed made whole, it doesn't mean that you have not received your healing. So I began to believe for the many, what I call the many others anointing.
Wow, what a wonderful thought.
So what you are referring to, like the emotional needs, the soul needs, all these other needs are all under the many others.
Wonderful.
So when I go out, like to work, I'm not just looking out for, say, those who are maimed, the blind, you know, I'm saying I want also the many others, I want to walk under the many others' anointing.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Where, like you said, you know, we need the spirit of discernment.
Yes, yes.
Because here's something, if I see the lame person, I don't know whether I need a spirit of discernment. I mean, he's lame, I need to pray. If he's blind, but then if they're just walking up and down, I need discernment because they are walking under some many others' problems. And so I shared this with a number of friends of mine, some are pastors, and today, these days, we talk about the many others anointing.
That's wonderful.
Or the many others revelation.
And
you can go farther and say we need a many others impartation.
Well, I was just going to say, why don't we do it now for the three of us that are here, or four of us that are here? William, would you, because you've got such a revelation of that, would you, if everyone's in agreement, would you like to pray that for us and release that?
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus,
thank you,
I
Lord.
Thank you because there is no distance in prayer. Right now we are agreeing, Father. Yes, on your word right now. Father, we know that there's your word. Father, I know you want us to always walk in a new revelation. You always give us fresh revelation.
Hallelujah.
Fresh manna. Father, right now, release others' anointing upon us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, I know you've given us the revelation of healing. I know you've given us the revelation of opening the eyes of the blind and stopping the deaf ears. And Father, I want you not just to give us the revelation of many others, but also cause us to walk under the many others.
Father,
because you said that those things, by the way, another scripture that's come to my mind as I'm praying, remember when he said that there are things that are minds that have not even entered our minds, that he's revealed them to us? Do you know that scripture? Talking about?
Tell us.
Do you know the scripture I'm talking about?
Say it again.
Okay, he says that there are many other things that have not been revealed to us.
Yes.
Let me get it. But that's what I'm saying. That's where. God wants us to move in. That's the kind of anointing I'm talking about.
Yes, yes. Well, do you know what it is? It really is. I mean, we can talk specifics, and that is good. That is good to you know, have a specific revelation. But what I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal to all of us here is that He is that many others anointing. He is all the anointings that we need. And I'm not talking about not calling down particular ones. I think it's important when God gives you that. It's a word of knowledge. But I really believe that moment by moment, He is it. He is alive, and He is the fresh manna. He is that moment by moment discernment. He is all of it within us. And if we just, I really get this picture, all we have to do is open our arms and say, free reign, Holy Spirit, free reign, take me. And He will. And He will give you these specific, He will give you these specifics, William. You're absolutely right. He's teaching me about the soul right now. And that's a specific thing because I'm a human being. I have to focus on particular things at one time. God is in all time. So as soon as we yield to Him, as soon as we yield to the Spirit, I mean, I could feel it now. As soon as we yield to the Spirit of God, that many others anointing, that every anointing we could ever want, that fullness of God is ours. And all the time factor is because we're in physical time. So we can only walk in a certain amount at a time, and then we gain, and then we accumulate, and then there's another experience, another revelation, another understanding. But we are open to it immediately, every instant, every day, as soon as we want it. We don't, you know, there's really no block, And he showed me this too. There is no limitation. You know how we'll say, well, I can only touch so many people per day. No, physically true. Physically, absolutely. I mean, I'm only one person. But he showed me there is coming a time, and the time is now, really, that we need to start declaring this. There's coming a time when I'm going to, or you, or Jane, or Steve, or any of believers that understand this, can call forth children. Say, this is the example he gave me. Children in another country that have had their limbs blown off from minefields, that we can call forth limbs immediately for all of them in a second. In Jesus' name, whether they're all in one group, whether they're in separate houses, whether they're in you know, in poverty, whether they're in wealth, it doesn't matter. And it's going to come right then, right now. That's how unlimited he wants us to be. We are that unlimited. We don't get it yet. And that's just the tip. That's not even that's just the beginning of being unlimited. It's so much bigger. We wouldn't even be able to conceive it at this moment. But that's what I'm seeing. It's he, you know, that life, because he is life in us, and that's how we get revelation. So I agree with you. I agree for the many others anointing, and I agree also in Jesus' name for each one of us to walk in the Spirit, according to the Spirit, according to the Spirit. There's freedom there. No condemnation when we walk according to the Spirit. As soon as we walk in the flesh, we are condemned, not by Jesus Christ and not by our Father. We are condemned by us and the devil. As soon as we walk in the flesh, we lose the peace that he's poured out for us. And that's what he's showing me. And people have hung up on that scripture, you know, the Romans 8:1, I think it is, you know, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And everybody goes, oh, well, that means if you walk according to the flesh, then you're going to be condemned. Well, then that means Jesus Christ didn't do anything on the cross, because he either took it all and it's finished or not. And that's what he's sharing with me. It is really finished, and the part where we're learning is that he says in Hebrews 10:14, I've repeated this a few times, but it's a really important scripture, that he has perfected forever, by the one offering, he has perfected forever those being sanctified. We're already perfected. The sanctification process is the learning. But we're already made holy, we're already righteous in him, or we couldn't be one with him. I'm finding there's a lot of people that are still preaching law, and they're destroying believers by doing it. And rather than realizing, if I'm one with God, if we're one with him, which it says we are, for those who are co-joined with him are one spirit with him, then how can we be unholy? Because he can't be near unholiness. He can't be one with unholiness. So you know that scripture that says, be holy as I am holy? That means we are. It's like, just get it. Get it. Realize it. Be holy as I am holy, because you are. You're my child. It's not a behavioral thing. People turn it into some kind of behavior. You know, I mean, forget about, like, I'm going to figure out how to be holy. Oh. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, there's a teacher that I used to love. You know, he passed away a number of years ago, but he was preaching on holiness one time, and he said, you know, there are times when we get to that point and we start saying, oh, you know, I am holy or walking in holiness. And he said, God looks down and he says, big deal.
Exactly.
You're supposed to be holy as I'm holy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And we make a big deal of it.
And it's not ours. It's not my holiness. It's his. And it's impossible for me to be holy on my own. People are still placing those incredibly heavy burdens on believers, saying, now you have to walk like him, and you have to be like him, but you have to do it. I'm like, are you kidding? It's an impossibility. I only can do it through his Spirit. I only can do it through his presence. I only can do it because the blood was shed for me. That's the only reason. And it isn't something that, what I really am hoping that in this generation, you know, I know there's an awakening, and I know, you know, in some ways it seems really small, but other ways it seems like around the world for those of us that are in the midst of it. But I really am praying that awakening of grace is poured out in full measure for the body of Christ, in Jesus' name, full measure, Lord, and that they cannot fall back into the law. They keep calling falling from grace. They think falling from grace means that you made a mistake and you sinned. Falling from grace is forgetting that you are completely sinless now. You reckoned yourself to Christ Jesus. You don't live. He lives in you. That's falling from grace. Oh, no, it's me. It's me. I've got to be holy. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Insanity. It's insanity. And it's all, again, the life and death in the tongue, power of the universe in the tongue. We agree with the devil who says, oh, you have to earn this, you know. Now that you're in the club, you better act like a member. And we agree with that, and then we come under the law again. Not through God. God's eyes doesn't see us under the law, but we do. And then with that life force that he's put on us, which isn't a life force, the person of the Holy Ghost, because he's a person, I so want that emphasized for all of us. He's a person. The person of the Holy Ghost that lives in us is completely ignored then. Because guess what? I've got to do this. It's up to me. It's, oh, if I make a mistake, then I've got to confess 1,000 times a day. It's all of that, rather than living in the finished work. And I sometimes feel that the Father's heart, he must be crying, deeply crying for believers, because they live in the illusion that of an unfinished work of Christ Jesus. And it's a tragedy. So those of us that are waking up have a responsibility to share with those that will listen. I mean, I'm not talking about shoving it down people's throats as some people do. It's just not going to work. But we have a responsibility of sharing that truth, that the finished work really is the finished work. And we are that finished work. You know, that's why he looked with joy to the cross. So with all of that, we can then, when we look at people, like you said, you know, the many others with their other problems, and with that spirit of discernment and yielding to the Holy Spirit to let us draw us, not just worry about crutches and broken arms and, you know, whatever, wheelchairs, but to draw us to whoever he wants to draw us to and draw them to us. I pray that. Lord, bring me to those who will receive you and your power and your love and your healing, and bring them to me in Jesus' name. Have free reign. And he directs me in a way, I call it a dance. It's a Holy Ghost dance. And sometimes it is people in wheelchairs, and sometimes it is people with broken arms, and sometimes it's not. But he draws me to the ones that are really ready to receive. And I'm not saying you can't, you know, people won't receive healing even if they're not quote unquote ready. I'm not saying that. But I'm working on the level where the Holy Spirit wants to teach me. And so I'm just going to go with him, regardless of doctrines of other people. So, and that's what's so amazing about the Holy Spirit. He will teach you moment by moment, custom made, tailor made for you. You know, he's teaching me this, and he might be teaching somebody else something similar or something completely different. And it doesn't make any of it right or wrong. It's just where he needs to take us. And that's how much God loves us. Imagine a lesson for each person, each day, each minute. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, oh, and I lost William. We've got to get William back on. Sorry. So go ahead, Steve. You were going to say something. Sorry.
No, I just see, I see what you're saying, Jesse, because a lot lately I've been, you know, there's always a lot of negativity-ness at work.
Yes.
And I've just started seeing, you know, that, yeah, if that's what you think, that's certainly what you're going to get.
Yes.
You know, and it just really comes down to just, it's a mindset. It's starting to change your way of thinking, thinking about any, you know, anything that happens in life or happens to you. I know, like, you know, I've been praying, you know, for a brand new set of teeth. And I realize now, throughout my, you know, childhood, my parents telling me, well, you know, there's nothing really we can do because you were born with the immune deficiency, and, you know, eventually you're going to lose them.
Oh, okay.
You know, And I remember one time, like, the doctor, I mean, the dentist, was all in there, you know, and he goes, your son really needs to have braces. But my mom's response was, well, he's a boy, he doesn't need them, and besides his teeth enamel so bad, why spend the money on it? You know, okay, and that really hurt. You know, it hurt me inside.
Right.
Because she put them on my sister. And the dentist ended up saying hers was even worse than mine. And I couldn't understand, why are you going to put them on her? And, you know, but it's such a subtle way. You start to realize after a while how Satan has, he's programming.
Yes.
He's influencing us with this garbage going in. And it's even from your loved ones. And it's only because, you know, I mean, I'm not mad at them, you know, or pissed or nothing like that. It's just they're deceived, you know. And it's we just got to really change our stinking thinking. And really, you know, these scriptures, like, you know, where it says, so as a man thinketh, so he's going to get it.
Mm.
Well, you know, what I got.
That's right.
God's program.
That's right. But the part, you know, that,
and,
go ahead.
And anymore now was psychic. Well, I've just been, the last week or so, you know, I've just been realizing, I just say, no, Satan, you're wrong. You're
good.
Full of it. You're
good.
Just hot air. You're just a roaring lion that goes around trying to scare.
That's right. That's right.
And you just got to just combat him. Say, no, you're wrong.
Well, the thing is, you're absolutely right. That's one of the real practical ways. The other thing is that on top of that, I mean, we need to be responsible for our tongue, obviously, especially if the power of the universe is in it. So yes, we've got to think clearly, and we've got to declare what it is we want, not what we don't want. Besides that, or in addition to that, the more we get led by the Spirit of God and really let Him take us over. See, believers will say, "Oh, I'm surrendered to God and everything." We're not. We try to live our own lives. It doesn't mean we're not saved. It doesn't mean we don't love Him or any of that. But we really want to be in charge. We have to be honest about it. You know, we're all a bit of control freaks, and that's kind of that nature of man. And what I'm finding, the Holy Spirit said it to me this week when I was. I don't know if I was belly aching or whatever. Whatever difficulties, there were some real difficulties. I had some people that were very draining that I was working with, extremely draining, and calling all hours of the night. And it was just, oh my goodness, I was just not myself. I couldn't even feel the presence of God. And I realized being that tired is not acceptable, because if I can't feel the presence of God, that's way too tired. That's just not on at all. And what He did show me is He said to me, literally these words, so are you going to surrender? You know, it was like, well, that's pretty straight. Are you going to surrender to me? You're going to let me take over? And we think, you know, sometimes people get a hold of this, the kind of that message on authority, and then they think, oh, well, it's all up to me. No, it's not. That's just to remind you who you are and what you've been given. That doesn't mean that now you're in control. God is still on the throne. Thank God for that, because if I was on the throne, the world would really be in trouble, you know. But it's not just us. On our own, we are co-workers with God, not only workers with God. It's not just us. And when we realize what He showed me is that if you don't want to surrender, Jesse, He's not going to force me. You'll get to a point where you want to surrender. It's almost like, you know, say uncle, kind of, not that the Holy Spirit's twisting my arm, but I'm doing my, you know, the enemy is. And sometimes I twist my own arm behind my back because I'm trying so hard to please Him as if He's not pleased already. He's pleased in Jesus Christ. I don't have to get Him to be pleased. I'm already in that place of the beloved. So what I'm learning is that independence. And that comes with emotions too. Like Jane, you said, you know, you have a hiccup, you have something happen to you, or like I did the other day, and the wild horse takes me. You know, I'm sitting in the cart and it just goes. That's where the independence has got to be dropped immediately. That's when we have to say, Holy Spirit, lead me, because I'm going to go the wrong way. And He will step in. Immediately. You know what he told me the other day? I was feeling guilty for, sometimes when, often when I pray for people, I'll say, I release the power of the Holy Spirit or whatever. And I thought, who am I to release the power? And he was saying, well, I'm in you. And he said, it's an invitation, Jesse. You're inviting me. I thought, oh, well, that's okay then. I'm not making myself out to be. I'm in control of the Holy Ghost, and he's my little wimp helper in the background, and you know, and he's going to come and go where I go, and he better like a little puppy. That's not where I'm coming from, and I was feeling like I wasn't respecting him. And he said, you're inviting me. When you say I'm releasing the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're saying, go on, Holy Ghost, do it. He wants to. He wants to. Sometimes I've even said, and he's showing me now, because I was praying for somebody who was a friend, and they had torn their torn a muscle or something, and you know, I'm used to getting fairly quick results, and it wasn't happening, and I had to really look at it, and I thought, you know what, I'm still, sometimes we still try by formula, and the formula has died. It was only a step. It wasn't the sorry, my husband's coming home. You're going to hear the car. It was only a step along the way. It wasn't the, to teach me something. It wasn't the essence of the power of God. It was simply a step to learn how to lay hands or what to say, that kind of thing. But it doesn't last. And sometimes we're still working on that level, that method level, and it's dead. And he was showing me that yesterday. And I thought, all I need to say now is... this is why I like these recordings. They're so down home. You can hear everything. Anyway, we got the diesel truck going here. And so what I believed the option is that I can now actually just say, Holy Spirit, have free reign. Do what this person needs in Jesus' name. And just, you know, lay your hands there and let him do what he does. And rather than it being, okay, I have to say this first, I command that, I release that, I cast out that, I do that, you know, and your mind is working a million miles a minute. I think you probably have that, had that experience, Jane. And you're not really paying attention to the Spirit, you're paying attention to a method. And I really think he wants us to, if we want to surrender to him, the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth, who is our teacher, which makes sense. Why would we want to be led by someone else? It doesn't make, I mean, for a time, maybe to point the way. I consider myself a flashlight or a torch or whatever they call it, you know, here in Australia. Just to point the way. That's go that road, that road, that road. And then once they're on that road, they don't need me anymore. I'm not some permanent fixture in their lives. And I don't want them under my teaching. You know, I'm not their covering. You know, Jesus Christ is their covering, and the Holy Spirit is who leads them. And I think if in the church we could get to that, you know, the church in terms of the institutionalized idea of the church, you know, the hierarchy and all that, if they could realize that rather than wanting to keep people captive because there's control and power in it, it would be, my husband saw it today in a vision. He's very much, very prophetic and these visions, you know, and things before they come. And he just saw this whole group of people in a concentration camp, and they're all smiling, you know, with these kind of like, I'm happy, you know, dazed, but I'm happy smiles. And there's razor wire all around them. And then God showed me the razor wires around their minds. And the guard is the person who's in authority, whatever capacity they are, whether, you know, whether a title in a church or whatever, is in that place of guarding them to keep them from coming out, to keep their minds in razor wire so the truth can't go in. Not because they're necessarily evil people that are doing it. They can be wolves in sheep's clothing, but because they have not been led by the Spirit truly. So they don't know how to allow others to be led. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. And Jane, are you there? Her line's open, but I can't see her.
I'm here.
Okay.
I just had it muted because I had some background noise here.
Okay, wonderful. Okay.
I'm still on.
Okay, terrific. So that's what this whole being led by the Spirit is. It isn't some freaky, weird, you know, let's just dance and sing all day and wave flags. That's not what it is. Though there might be times when you do that. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that's not the gambit of being led by the Spirit. It is, you are infused. He's one with us. And we can trust his steps. He keeps telling me the good steps, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's like he's saying, don't you know I have ordered your steps? So if you follow me, you're going to go the right way. And I think that's what we have to, you know, even in any kind of healing as well, when we're out in the streets, he orders our steps. We can trust him. It's not like we have to ask him every 5 seconds, is this from you, Lord? Is this from you? He will show you. Like, he shines lights on people's heads for me, especially black African people. Why? I don't know. But anyway, they've got this warmth, this fire in their hearts that he's placed in there. They're amazing, amazing people. But or he'll just make me think that I know somebody and I don't know them at all to get the conversation started. And it's somebody he's led me to or led them to me, kind of a thing. And it's so much more freedom than trying to, you know, get everybody in the shopping mall. That's exhausting. You can ask me how I know, but it's exhausting. So now, Jane, I just wanted to ask you, in reference to that emotional issue, you know, having emotions derail you, has that been answered, or did you want to discuss that a bit more? Are you there, Jane? Maybe I should write it.
Oh, hey, it's right there. She's
just... Oh, there, no, people are here.
I'm here.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm here, but that was good. No, that's why you're going to hold me accountable.
Okay, all right, great. Great, okay, all right.
Yep.
So, and all you have to do...
Next time we're on.
Yep.
Yeah, just next time we're on, Jesse, remind me about that and ask how I did, because you gave some good things there.
Okay, terrific, terrific.
And I'm trying to remember what it was exactly. I wrote it down. Oh, about the yielding when you're in a difficult situation.
Yes, yes. It's just being Spirit-led. What I actually said to him, Holy Spirit, teach me how to be Spirit-led every moment of every day. Now, unfortunately, the process has been a bit painful because that means some stuff has to go. And this is a part of that pruning process, but it's, you know, it's not because God's trying to hurt me or whatever. It's simply because I have to, I'm realizing the pain that I cause myself by not being led by the Spirit. So that's all you have to say. I'm literally out loud. You can just say, Holy Spirit, lead me in this. I don't know how to do it. And he'll take over. He's amazing. And he does it in this non-intrusive way. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't intrusive. He doesn't manipulate you, and he doesn't stranglehold you. He just does it. It's like his presence comes, and all of a sudden everything's different. And you might have to ask him 2 or 3 times if you get caught back in, you know, the emotion or the issue, or you start thinking about the person again. What I'll often do too is just use that scripture that says, you know, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So I'll declare whatever I need. I'll release whatever I need, bind, loose, whatever. And then I cast the care on him. And if it comes back into my mind, I go, no, you've got it, Daddy. I cast it on. It's cast on you. I don't take it back. Really simple stuff that can help us not get derailed. But it's always letting the Spirit take over.
Right.
So that it's the easiest way. And I mean, I'm challenged with it. I'm learning it, and I'm learning more and more that when we don't yield to him, life is really horrible. it's a mess. And when I do yield to him, I've got joy unspeakable. It's that simple. It's amazing. It's that simple, you know? So, I just thought, William, that you might have something to say on that.
I just wrote you something.
Yeah, I've got that.
Over there. I think it's in line with what you're saying.
With the one about...
I've been writing...
Go ahead.
Yeah, because, you know, I love writing while we're sharing.
Yes.
So, and I can see coming back again, you know, healing is spirit directed. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
So yes. What happened was I was consulting with a programmer in India.
Okay.
And because I had a program that I needed work on, and we hired him, and then we were using Skype, and he saw what I've typed there, you know, and he said, "Oh, I love this." Organized with him, so that my life becomes the stage on which he manifests himself in the flesh. And he said, "Who is him?" And I told him who the him is, and he said, "Are you a priest?"
Wow!
I had an opportunity.
Wow!
Guy who is out in India.
How amazing!
And then 2 years ago, I had someone from Turkey, and he was working on one of my programs. And then he sent me an email. He said, "Are you with World Harvest Mission? Are you the William Kosir with World Harvest Mission?" I said, "Sure, it's me." And then he said, "Oh, you're a man of God, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And then he sent me a very encouraging email, you know. He said, "People like you are changing the world. Although I am a Muslim, I admire you," and things like that. And I realized, wow, you know, somehow God is using us in ways that we don't know.
Oh, it's incredible.
Even people who are not of our faith.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's yes. Amazing. That is just amazing. And that's exactly it. You know, if we put it, what is it? If we put on Christ, which is what we've done. We put on Christ and from there, wherever we go and whatever we do and whatever we say, again, has that impact. And it's like you said, it's not, I'm waiting to get home to heaven and see the people that I didn't think I have impacted be there. You know, I'm waiting for those ones because the ones, you know, well, that you just know, but the ones that you don't, that might have been touched, yes. Might have been more touched than you realize, and went to their bedroom that night and said, "Oh, Lord, maybe you really are real. Show me," are the ones that we're going to be amazed at. And I think that is just so amazing, William, that we would have, you know, a simple line like that, a simple concept. It's not simple. It's an amazing concept. Yes. Would touch somebody's heart, because the him, they believe in the false him. Sorry, I was just saying they believe in the false him.
So, I had the opportunity to share the gospel with them.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't in that, again, it's not that intrusive way. It's the way the Holy Ghost works. He sets it up. You know, he gives you a revelation. You know, he does, doesn't he? You share it. And it's so effortless. Then God is really focusing me on, because I tend to be a workaholic, or I have been. I don't want to say that about myself anymore. But I tend to be very performance-based, very workaholic, a total go-getter. You know, A-type personality to the max. And I don't want it anymore. I've been renouncing it, and it's very hard for me because it's been such a part of my personality to perform, to be the top of the class, literally straight A student, all of that. And if I'm not, my value gets diminished in my own eyes. So what I'm working on with the Holy Spirit now is I don't want to be workspace led. I want to be led by him. And allow him to teach me. And when he does, I have, Jane, I just want to say this to you. I think it's really important because I think you probably have a similar personality. I just want to say this to you. When we let him lead us, the effortlessness of it is like it's fresh It is fresh manna. It is so fulfilling. It is so freeing. Because we're trusting Him. And we're not trying to rely on our own abilities. And He has been showing me that it is just, you know, the most amazing, the amazing way of relating to Him as well as to others. Because when we do that, we're no longer looking at the limitedness of ourselves. We're looking at the unlimitedness of God. And we're in it. We're in the midst of it. And it's just, it's a completely different level of working. And it's very hard for those of us that have particular habits, particular ways of being, particular personality types even. It's very hard for us to then drop that. Because we've identified ourselves with that. And to actually say, no, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to do this, but I'm willing to learn. And I don't want to be in prison. It is a God has shown me it is a prison. Works-based anything, whether it's salvation, healing, anything, is misery. Absolute misery. There is no life in it. And it has to stop. You know, I mean, there's people caught up in it, and I've certainly been caught up in it. And I now have an opportunity because by saying, you know, I'm raising my hand, Holy Spirit, I can't stand this anymore. Get me out. And He's showing me that with that He is effortless. And just like you writing that thing, William, on, you know, your screen, and a Muslim in India reads it and goes, whoa, what's that? And you share the gospel with him? I'm like, oh my gosh, only the Holy Ghost can do that.
Oh yeah,
it's incredible.
I did. It was amazing because it's right there and I never think about it, but it touched this guy, you know.
Yes, that's right. And I'm just thinking.
And it was, you see, at times we need like a window or a door for us to effortlessly present the gospel.
Yes.
And that's what happened. I didn't come with a 10-point program or this is the way you gotta go about it. I just hired him to do my work.
Exactly. That is amazing. That is just absolutely amazing. And that's how it's meant to be. And that's what I was trying to explain. I keep losing people, but we'll keep calling him. That's exactly how it's meant to be. We should not be in a struggle to share the freedom that Jesus Christ paid for. We should not, just have to write this one down. You know, we should not be in struggle or strife or in any way entangled or I just see this picture. I'm seeing the picture of somebody tied up to share his freedom. That's insanity. You know, that is not what he died for. He died to set us free, and then we're trying to go out, like you said, a 10-point program, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that in order for this to work, and for them to get saved, and da-da-da-da-da, and I've got to go out of the streets and pound the pavement. And we shouldn't be struggling in that to share freedom. We shouldn't be imprisoned. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you, Lord. We shouldn't be imprisoned by either method or works to share freedom, to share His freedom. It's just not how it's meant to be. It was never meant to be that way. And but as always, the enemy will hijack anything if he can get his hands on it. So we've got to be wise to his devices, not ignorant to his devices. And I think that's probably the essence of this idea of being spirit-led is the effortlessness of being spirit-led. And we are so used to we are so used to effort, our own effort, aren't we? And I'm finding for myself, as I said, because of that tendency to be a worker, that it's been a real struggle for me to go, okay, I mean it. To this week, it was the Holy Spirit saying, so are you going to surrender? Literally, just ask me point blank, are you going to surrender? And I was like, do I have to answer that? It was that kind of a feeling. But I knew if I didn't surrender, I was going to be miserable. And the longer I didn't, the more miserable I became. And that's what he showed me. He showed me. And it was amazing. William, I went out and did my usual, going out to the shopping center, buy groceries, da-da-da, all of that. And it was like going through the motions. I mean, people got healed. I wouldn't say, this woman could feel heat in her knee or ankle or broken ankle, and she was walking better and said, oh, it is better, and da-da-da. And somebody else with their arthritic knee, and somebody else with something else, whatever it was. But I was going through the motions. I'm supposed to do this. That is not how it's meant to be. Whereas the previous time that I was out, it was completely spirit-led. He put a light on a person's head, and then I wrote him. I wrote this man this amazing card that God told me to write him, in a pharmacy, and then, I go run outside and go write the letter that God. Well, it's a note, kind of note letter that God gave me to write to this man, and then I give it back to him, and said, God gave you this is from God. Okay, and then he led me to this group of people that were more in mourning. I didn't even know they were in mourning. They were at a pub, it's like a bar on the outside at a cafe. And he leads me to them to pray with them, these girls, young women. And then I was at a bookstore and there were a couple of women there. And it was amazing. And it was a complete dance. It was totally different than the previous way of efforting myself. And that's exactly how it's meant to be. Because how can we be free? How can we share freedom if we're in prison? Trying to work it all out. I think that's what he's trying to teach. Well, I know he's trying to teach me that, but I would believe the whole body would need that revelation. And I think you have it amazingly so, William. You haven't ever gotten caught in that. I don't know why. Maybe it's because you met Grace personally. You probably have such a deep understanding of Grace that you can't get snagged. You just can't get snagged like a lot of us, because you're like, you look at it and you laugh. It's like a cartoon. I can see it. It's like this little cartoon. And you're like, I think that's real. You've got to be kidding. I'm not going that way. And it's wonderful to see, because you're walking it out so others of us can watch it and go, oh, I see. Once I get the depth of that revelation, and we can even ask for that. Lord, give me the depth of revelation for Grace. I asked him this week. I want to truly know it, Lord, so nothing can throw me off kilter. Doesn't matter if somebody says, oh, you have to do this, or you must repent, or you have to confess, because it says in 1 John 9, and it won't matter anymore. It won't throw me off. I want to have that depth of the level of grace. So I'm asking for that now, Daddy, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, for releasing it in me in Jesus' name. Because that will keep us free. Revelation of grace will keep us free. And Tarek, I'm glad I know people keep getting dropped. I'm sorry, but it's we've been talking basically about really being spirit led and what it means. Oh, now I've lost him again. And anyway, we're discovering what it means as we talk. And it's just a whole different way of being. And I'm just, I keep losing everybody. I don't know why, but we'll just keep trying to call them back. I'm sorry, William, but you can keep talking, William, because I've got you, and I'm just kind of playing musical chairs here.
Just enjoying it.
Okay. So, Jane, I know you kept getting bumped off, but we were talking about the effortlessness of being spirit-led and how that, if we're going to share the freedom of Christ, what he bought, and we're going to be imprisoned by works, how can we share it? We're just talking about the insanity of that kind of thinking, and how, William's example, and even your example this morning, you were there in that place. It wasn't like you had to really effort and struggle and, you know, get this girl to listen to you. It just happened. Do you know what I'm saying? God, the Holy Spirit is that, you know, it just happens kind of God. He does, you know, person, not God. He's one of the three, but, you know, he's that kind of person. It just happens around him. He can't help, but life happens around him. And if we want to walk in those ordered steps that he's prepared, it's just going to happen around us. How amazing. That's such freedom. And the difference is incredible. I don't know if other people have experienced it like I have, and perhaps I've experienced it so I can share it with others. The hell of being works driven as opposed to the heaven of being spirit led. And perhaps because I'm so involved in ministry 24/7, I really experience those two things, those two ways of being. The whole works driven thing, I'm just writing this down, sorry, is that it ends up, you always end up going back to what I find is the saving grace is I go back to the cross. If I go back to the cross and I say, Jesus, what did you do? It is finished. I don't have to finish it. It's a done deal. And as soon as I do that and I really get it in my spirit again, I can walk on properly. Or I can just say, Holy Spirit, I have been completely waylaid. My head is, you know, not on straight. Straighten me up and lead me. You know, you can do it however you want to do it. But I know that the cross is always my compass. And if I go back to that, I mean, it's the most precious thing there is. Well, it's not. It's the beginning of the most precious thing there is. You know, without it, we wouldn't be here. Unionized in Him, with Him, you know. The Word made flesh, you know, which is what we've become. And you know what I'd love to, not as a challenge, but more as an opportunity, I'd love to say to all of us, and I'm saying this to myself as well, and people can say yay or nay. They don't have to do it or not, you know, no one's forced. But I would love to, for us to just be observing this week when we find ourselves being spirit-led and when we tend to be works-driven and what the difference is, you know, how we experience that difference and how quickly are we able to just go back to the spirit. You know, those of us that have that problem, not everybody has it, but just go back to the spirit and say, no, you need to take over because I'm not on the right path here. So it just would be, I found this week, it was excruciating. It was incredibly painful to watch myself be works. And it was dead. It was absolutely dead. There was no life in it. It didn't mean that people didn't get prayed for. It didn't mean that there wasn't healing going on. But it meant the fullness of what he really wanted to give was left out. And that's tragic. And I don't want that anymore. I really don't want to go that way. And it's such a temptation because when you've defined yourself by what you do, by your performance, it's very hard to stand back and say, Holy Spirit, I am no longer identified by what I do. I am identified by Christ. So you take over. It's that kind of a scenario. Carrick, do you understand what I know? You've been cut on and off. I'm sorry, but do you understand what we're saying? Oh, he dropped again. You're the only one stable here today, William.
It's amazing.
I know. I don't know why they keep getting dropped. I mean, sometimes it's so solid, and other times it's just, you know, not at all. But I'll just keep trying to call them. But that makes sense, doesn't it, William? I mean, I know you probably live that way most of the time anyway. But a lot of us don't. And we have to learn.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the Lord showed me was, I call it entering his rest.
Yes.
You know what that, you know what
in Hebrews. In Hebrews. Yeah, yes.
I refer to it as entering his rest. Where, like you said, I surrender. You know, when we were kids, we used to sing, I surrender all,
yes,
I
yes.
surrender all. But, you know, when God starts using you, there's a tendency to stop being, to stop completely being yielded and surrendering to Him.
Yes, 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 exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's
I fully understand that.
Mm. I find, in fact, isn't that funny? Well, it's not funny. It's always the Holy Ghost. But somebody put that on my Facebook wall. They wrote that scripture on my Facebook wall about you know, about entering into His rest, and it said, "All your works ceased. All your works ceased." That's the next line in that. I mean, that blew me away. And I'm like, oh, and I know all the workspace, the performance-based healing people would go, oh, but there's all these people, you have to go out and heal, you have to go out and heal. It's like, wait a minute, let's look at what that word works means. What does it mean that my work cease? I cannot do it. I mean, that's it. I cannot do it. Because if all my work cease, then I can't do it. Then it's not me doing it. And when I try to do it, when I go back into, oh, I've got to do this, oh, that poor person, when I try to do it, then I go back into works and I have no rest. It's just amazing. He's shown me that this week because I've had no rest, literally. I had so little rest that I had to cancel Skype prayer calls. I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't do it. I had all these calls in the middle of the night. I was just, you know, this person really, really needed help. They were in a massive crisis, and I wasn't sleeping. And I had to take 3 days. I didn't take them completely off. I still wrote some things. I still prayed a little bit. But I wasn't in my usual where I'm, you know, I'm on. Okay, go, let's go. Holy Ghost, we're doing it. I wasn't there at all. And it wasn't until this morning that I recovered. And yeah. And then here I look on my Facebook this morning, and this one of my Facebook friends, who's a lovely, lovely person, wrote on there about entering into His rest and how your works cease. It's not just His works, your works cease. And that is, I think that's the part we miss. I'm just writing that down. It says in Hebrews, our works cease. So that, and I know it's, I understand that it's in relationship to salvation as well, but it's also in daily living. You know, as we're talking, I'm just getting a handle on what it really means. And I think it's in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, where is it? Is it in Hebrews 12?
I'm
not
remember.
Sure.
I know Hebrews 12 is about going on. Let's leave the elementary things of faith.
Oh, okay.
Let us go.
No, it's not in. It must be in. It must be in another part of Hebrews. But I actually want to read it. I've just got to find it, because it talks about, or it might be Hebrews 4. Yes, it's Hebrews 4, 9 through 4, 9 through, say, 11. And it says, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered His rest, capital H, or God's rest, has himself also ceased from His own works as God did from His. That's incredible. That's incredible. I mean, that should be taped to people's foreheads. You know, it's just unbelievable. When I'm looking at that, I'm just wanting to write the reference for people, even though I've lost everyone again. 9 to, say, 11. It's It's both our rest and his rest. So we cease. He ceases from works, and so do we. And what, you know, people will go, oh, yes, but there's people to heal, and he told us to go, and he told us to do, and he told us to lay hands on the sick, da-da-da-da. And they don't get that there's a place to do that from being spirit-led, and it will not be an effort, and it will be in a place of union with him. And that's what we want. And there also is a time for actual physical rest, and there's a time for just being with him, you know, taking our time out and being with the Holy Spirit and communing with God and all of that too. But this, in terms of, you know, I'd really like to look up, I don't know if you have a concordance nearby, William, but I'd like to look up the word works, if you have one. Because otherwise I have to go inside. Okay. In the Greek of what that actually means. We cease for, so Tarek, you're on again, thank goodness. You know, do you know that scripture in Hebrews? I don't know if you got to hear it. Okay. That it talks about that for he, us. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, William.
If you could finish verse 9, I think there's something very powerful that it says. The last part of verse 9 says, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience.
Yes.
I've got a feeling that means if we don't enter into his rest, then we are in disobedience.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. I'm going to write that one down.
It says, let us therefore make strict. Let's make every effort to enter that rest. So that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So if we follow works, then we are in disobedience.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because they twist it the other way around.
The walk. That's right. The walk of grace is obedience.
Yes. And it's been turned into a walk of works.
Works.
Mm. That's amazing. That's absolutely brilliant. So, and what freedom? There's your freedom. So if I'm, you know, trying to do this by works and going, oh, I have to pray for this person, pray for that person, heal, 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 I'm actually in disobedience. And the other types of thinking would be, oh, no, but you have to, you know, these are the signs that follow those who believe. You have to do. They're in actual disobedience because they haven't entered into his rest. They're doing it from a place of, I have to do. The work isn't finished, meaning Jesus Christ, so I have to do this. It's being really independent from God, isn't it? It's like an insult. And I'm just looking at, how do you explain to someone that is, you know, hell-bent, so to speak, on performing or doing the word, as they call it, doing the word, as if that's the only word you're supposed to do, that one, you know, how do we explain that to those people in a way where they will receive the grace of God? And well, they'll stop hammering other people into performing. I mean, it's a question I have. I'm not saying I've figured it out. So Holy Spirit, you're going to have to share with us. How do we do that? Lead us to do that in a way of grace, you know, like when you correct your brother, you still do it with grace and love and patience. You don't scream and yell and attack and insult. How to get that revelation of cross, you know, across to them. Tarek, do you have some comments on this? Because I know you have gone through this process.
Sorry, I didn't hear what you're saying.
Sorry, Tarek. Okay, do you have some comments on that, about entering his rest, and about when we are in his rest, we are, if we're not in his rest, we are being disobedient? Isn't that amazing? I just find that incredible.
Yes.
Because the opposite's being taught.
I mean,
You go ahead, Tarek.
I mean, if we depend on our own works, you know, it's like we're saying that everything that Jesus did on the cross is insufficient. You know, we're depending on our own works,
yes,
our own righteousness, and not trusting in what He has already done, and the fact that He's already made us righteous, and that's not something that we strive to attain, but something that we recognize that He has already done, and we walk out, you know, that victory.
I don't know who that is.
They sent a letter message to Anna later in the classes today, so they didn't know.